This is full-time Catholic radio for Southeast Michigan, 990 WDEO, Ypsilanti, Detroit, or on the internet at WDEO.net.
Well, good afternoon. I'm Al Krista. Thanks for joining me. We've got another hour here talking about the things that matter most. I come across a bunch of articles throughout the week that there's just can't do much with them. They don't merit an entire interview. But oftentimes they merit comment because they're engaging, they're edifying, they're encouraging, or sometimes they're downright silly. So I thought today I'd spend a little bit of time in the first segment going over some odd interviews, or excuse me, some odd articles that don't merit an interview, but they do merit a comment. For instance, a man who just celebrates his 100th birthday had 7 children, 4 of his sons become priests, and guess what? After his wife died, he became a priest as well. How about a village saved from a volcano because of the devotion to the Sacred Heart? And a mother of 2 handicapped children seek to help other parents in her situation embrace their vocation and their families with increased love. All that's coming up in the first segment, but then Steve Ray and I join forces to talk about Poland. We'll be going at the end of August on pilgrimage. Stephen, Janet Ray, myself, will be leading a pilgrimage to the land of John Paul II, Maximilian Kolbe, and Maria Faustina. These 3 saints are pillars of the 20th century global Catholic Church. And, of course, their influence will continue on. They're on the liturgical calendar now. Their writings and examples of spirituality are great in building up so many people in this generation. So we're going to take time to visit those places, and I want Steve to give a little bit of a preview of where we're going. But right now, let's get to the headlines.
Thanks, Al. Good afternoon, everyone. This is your Ave Maria Radio News for Friday, June 14th. It's the Feast of St. Methodius. Today's news is brought to you by Charity Mobile, serving pro-life and Catholic causes at CharityMobile.com. The U.S. military is revealing video evidence to support the claim that Iran was behind an attack on 2 tankers in the Gulf of Oman. The military says the video shows an Iranian Navy boat removing an unexploded mine from a Japanese-owned tanker. Retired Navy Admiral and NATO Supreme Ally Commander James Trevidas says what he sees as confirmed claims make him nervous about growing U.S.-Iran tensions.
I've spent half my life in the Gulf of Oman and in and out of that Strait of Hormuz many, many times. This is a difficult, challenging set of circumstances. We are on a collision course. I'm worried.
Secretary of State Mike Pompeo claimed that Iran was behind the attack based on an intelligence assessment. The attack comes as tensions remain strained between the U.S. and Iran over nuclear power. Iran is denying any involvement. A federal appeals court is blocking the Trump administration's ban on abortions for undocumented teens in government custody. The D.C.-based court said the government cannot compel migrant teens to carry pregnancies to term against their wishes. The ruling cited the law-standing Supreme Court precedent on abortion. Judges also said the Constitution offers basic protection for a woman's right to choose. President Trump is rolling out a plan aimed at expanding health care options for small businesses. During a White House event today, Trump claimed millions of Americans will benefit from, quote, high quality and very affordable health care.
Many of these options are already reducing the cost of health insurance premiums by up to 60%.
He said his administration has been working hard to expand health care access and drive down costs. Trump insists that the Republicans are also focused on protecting people with pre-existing conditions. And I'm Steve Clark, Ave Maria Radio News.
Good afternoon, I'm Al Cresta. You know, through the week, stories come across my desk, and some of them aren't the things you do an interview on, but you want to get them in somehow because they're just interesting. So, for instance, I see this headline the other day. Catholic priest ordained after his wife died turns 100 with 7 children and 4 sons who are priests. Now, that's a headline. You're going to stop and try to figure out what this is about. It's the story of Don Probo Vaccarini. He was ordained a priest at the age of 69 after his wife died. They had 7 children in the family, 4 sons. The 4 sons all became priests. So he just celebrated his 100th birthday at the end of May in Rimini, Italy. And he was a widower, and his family encouraged him to work towards his interest in theology. And eventually, his sons, who were priests, encouraged him to seek ordination. And he's been working as a pastor in San Martino in Venti, a small rural community near the Adriatic Sea. And it's just a fascinating story. They had seven kids. Four sons were born. All the male sons also entered the priesthood. And I think it's amazing because his wife was a devotee of Padre Pio. And she had a lot to do with encouraging their sons and daughters and him to take seriously the Catholic faith. And look at the fruitfulness of that family. Also, story here talks about a large volcanic eruption in 1902 coming from Mount Pelee on the island of Martinique in the Caribbean, decimated the village of Saint-Pierre and was making its way towards the village of Montrouge. It was the Feast of the Ascension, and the local parishioners flocked to the Catholic Church, frightened by the massive eruption. They were, it was a city, a community, a village, devoted to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. And the parish priest exposed the Eucharist for adoration on the altar. So everyone lined up. They wanted to make their last confession because they feared that they were going to be next in line to experience the overflow of this volcano. And the story goes that they looked up, noticed an apparition of the Sacred Heart in the exposed Eucharistic host. It was the Sacred Heart of Jesus, they say, crowned with thorns. Some saw his precious blood dripping from his heart. The apparition remained with the people for several hours, and a large number of people witnessed the miraculous event. Now, I haven't pursued this myself, but it's in the it's at the Alatia.org website if you wanted to know more. The village was spared that day from the volcanic eruption. That's another part of the story. And all were given the chance to reconcile with God, you know, under threat of death. And apparently they did so. But a few months later, another volcanic eruption occurred, and many were killed in the city of Montrouge. But the local people believe that God spared them from that earlier eruption so that they would have extra time to repent, confess, make peace with God before he called them home. So instead of seeing this second eruption as a sign of God's wrath, they believed it was an act of mercy, and they remained committed to the Sacred Heart even after the tragic event. Again, fascinating stories of faith are all around. Here's one. This is a little longer and maybe more immediately close to home for some of us. This showed up in Catholic News Agency, and it's written by Jenny Ubing, who I haven't seen any of her work before. But it tells the story of Kelly Mantoan. That's M-A-N-T-O-A-N. She's a mother of five, homeschools some of the kids. Her two youngest sons, she has to get them on the school bus. She also does some writing. She has a blog. She's got a full schedule. But her days even look a little different from those of any other typical mother in a large family, because the Mantuan's family, its two youngest children, Fulton 10 and Teddy 8, were both born with a rare degenerative genetic disorder called spinal muscular atrophy, or SMA. Both boys use motorized wheelchairs full-time for mobility, and they do require round-the-clock care to ensure that their health needs are met. Kelly, her husband Tony, knows something about the strain that can accompany such comprehensive care. Now, here's what I think is important, is the way they have responded to this challenge. They came up with the idea of a day-long conference designed especially for caregiving special needs parents, okay? Special needs parents, called Accepting the Gift. That's the name of the conference. And there's nothing out there, they say, like this for Catholics. There are some Protestant ministries that support parents of special needs children, but they couldn't find anything particularly geared for Catholic parents whose needs can be really unique. From a theological point of view, the Catholic faith, of course, is instrumental in dealing with suffering. And Kelly mentioned that very thing. Without a Catholic understanding of redemptive suffering, I don't know how I would deal with my the special needs issues that we have to deal with. She said, as a Catholic, I've been able to see that there is nothing wrong with my child, and God can bring a joy in this, and this is who he is. So she wanted to bring that kind of spiritual and emotional support to other parents of children with special needs. So last summer, she started looking around, couldn't find anything like what she was envisioning. She called her pastor, August of 2018, asked if he'd be supportive if she pursued this. He has a brother with Down syndrome who's very involved in parish life there. So we thought, well, he'd be sympathetic. They got permission, set the date, went ahead, started asking other special needs parents, what kind of talks, what kind of things would you like to see at this conference? And they just started throwing things together willy-nilly. And they quickly realized that they were going to need to do some fundraising. She said it was very haphazard. A couple at our church stepped up and did all the food and meals and logistics. Now, Kelly mentioned that she had run a conference before. She had run a major homeschool conference once. So she had, you know, well, I'm qualified to plan something like this. She felt, again, empowered by the Holy Spirit to move forward here. She said the conference's inauguration, you know, the first installment, was a trial by fire. But she learned a lot. It didn't totally squash my spirit. It was hard for me at first to figure out how to get the word out reliably to everybody. And, you know, I have an online presence. Our keynote has an online presence. And I just figured, well, if we get the word out, what Mantuan didn't count on, however, was that she would find few diocesan offices that had staff members responsible for ministry or formation with disabled Catholics. Still, despite this, and it's oftentimes we think the diocese is going to be able to get the word out for us, they didn't there. And despite these initial difficulties, the first conference was an encouraging start. Several dozen parents came to Mater Ecclesia Church in Berlin, New Jersey for the April 27th conference, and there was a larger remote audience that was being streamed online. The conference featured a series of talks and expert panels by author Mary Lenzberg, David Rizzo, creator of the Adaptive First Eucharist Preparation Kit, and National Catholic Bioethics Center ethicist Diane Eckert. They were on hand to provide insight into the complex ethical scenarios that attend adverse prenatal diagnoses, genetics, what do you know when you learn that your child is genetically susceptible to something? Reverend Matthew Schneider, the priest behind the Twitter handle @autisticpriest, was also there in attendance. He's announced that he has a diagnosis of autism, and he started a YouTube channel where he's speaking openly about his life and his ministry through the lens of autism. Kelly Mantuan called Schneider, who live-tweeted the event, a real ray of hope to parents of autistic kids who are wondering what the future may hold. So he's an advocate for those with autism. He also speaks from the perspective of a priest and gives a rather unique insight on how to make parishes more open to disabled people. So why this struck me is because here you have Catholics seeking to be faithful in their calling, their vocation, in this case, as parents, and facing up to the problems there, using the resources that we've been given in Christ and also in his church. So they're looking forward to next year's event. They have to get the word out. And here's one of the problems. Many special needs parents are full-time caregivers. They can't leave. They can't fly somewhere for multiple days of travel to take in a conference like this. They're on call 24/7. And that's who Kelly most wants to reach. And that's why they streamed the content this time around. It's for the frazzled stay-at-home caregiver who feels like they really can't get out. But it's fascinating. We're going to have this posted for you, of course, in the online online in the Cresta Guest Archive. Kelly said, if you're a faithful Catholic and you have kids with genetic diseases, or if you're disabled with a genetic disease that makes childbirth dangerous, if you have a large family with disabilities, how do you stay open to life? I mean, they're dealing with all these questions. How do you manage special needs parenting and continue living your life? For us, for a long time, the whole family planning aspect was a huge struggle. When we got their diagnoses, it was like, oh, I have a 1 in 4 chance of having a child who also carries this disease. And she says it was difficult for a long time. Probably I can say that within the last 3 years, we finally reached a point of peace. Basically, up to that point, we were doing what the church taught because we knew it was right, but we weren't happy about it. We're still very, very prudent and very, very cautious with NFP, and I'm really excited we didn't go ahead. Anyways, go online to Accepting the Gift. It's still available, and we'll have it contact for it in our at our website as well. I'll close with one funny story here. There's an environmentalist who is blasting C.S. Lewis for miseducating the public by claiming that Mr. and Mrs. Beaver in the Chronicles of Narnia eat fish. Yeah, this beaver expert has criticized Lewis for miseducating the public on what these furry animals eat, saying he was wrong to write that their diet includes fish. If you take away one thing, this environmentalist says, is that beavers don't eat fish. C.S. Lewis was wrong. Well, I just want to point out that the group settled down also to a meal of boiled potatoes. And I'm not certain that they're eating boiled potatoes either. I think Lewis would say this guy is misreading this children's fantasy.
Myler & Zipka Certified Public Accountants is proud to support Ave Maria Radio Programming. Myler & Zipka offer great services to WDEO listeners in Metro Detroit for all of your accounting and tax needs. Call Ken Zipka and let him know you appreciate him helping to keep Catholic radio alive in this area. Ken can be reached at 734-930-5500. That's 734-930-5500. Or on the web at mspccpa.com.
God bless the Mercy High Class of 2019. Congratulations for earning over $13 million in college scholarships and volunteering 16,000 hours of community service. Mercy High School, a Catholic college preparatory school immersed in the tradition of the Sisters of Mercy, educates and inspires young women of diverse backgrounds to lead and serve with compassion. Visit Mercy at mhsmi.org. That's mhsmi.org.
In this moment, who has your back? Do you know the name of your insurance agent? Does your agent know your name? Or would you call a 1-800 number that connects you with who? Another state? Another country? Get a local independent agent. Get Choice Insurance Agency, representing auto owners insurance. Someone you can call when bad stuff happens. Call Greg at Choice Insurance at 734-641-4200, who will protect you in that moment. Call 734-641-4200.
Abortion.
Pornography.
Embryonic stem cell research.
Corporate contributions to Planned Parenthood. Do you invest in companies that are engaged in these practices? The Ave Maria Mutual Funds do not, and their investment portfolios reflect that. Ave Maria Mutual Funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria Mutual Funds. You can learn more about the Ave Maria Mutual Funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
When the need for senior care arises, home is where the heart is. Visiting Angels provides home care for mom or dad up to 24 hours per day, including personal care, meals, and light housework. You may select your professional caregiver with Visiting Angels. More information at visitingangels.com or at 877-374-LIVE. That's 877-374-LIVE. Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care.
Are you longing for a real relationship with Jesus?
Do you desire to truly know Him?
Not just know about Him?
Then Lord Teach Me to Pray is for you.
Lord Teach Me to Pray, an Ignatian prayer series, invites you to a training retreat.
Saturday, June 29th at St. Paul of the Cross Passionist Retreat Center in Detroit.
Register at LordTeachMeToPray.com.
Don't pass up this invitation to deepen your relationship with Jesus while helping others do the same.
Register today at LordTeachMeToPray.com or call 504-439-5933.
Why are there so few practicing Catholics in public office? And by practicing, I mean Orthodox, faithful to all the Church's teachings. There are many thousands of good Catholic candidates for school boards, mayor seats, state senate, Congress, governorships, even the presidency. They're out there. Some of them may be listening right now. We need to spend less time complaining about faux Catholics out there and more of our time encouraging the real ones to get in the game. In the Catechism of the Catholic Church, number 1915, we read, "As far as possible, citizens should take an active part in public life." Don't get me wrong, public life is not easy. The times are tough. But were they as tough as the first, say, 300 years of the Church? Haven't we as Catholics faced down more fearsome enemies than the ones we face today? I think so, too. I'm Patrick Coffin of PatrickCoffin.media. Be a saint. What else is there?
Good afternoon, I'm Al Cresta. Thanks for joining me, and I have not taken the time. I've mentioned a few times that I was going to be going to Poland, following in the footsteps of St. John Paul II, St. Maria Faustina, and St. Maximilian Kolbe. Steve Ray, Steve and Janet, good friends, they're leading this pilgrimage to Poland. And while I've mentioned it a few times, we never really have focused in on it in any depth. And I did think we needed to do that just to make sure we've laid out for your benefit exactly what's happening there. Because Poland, when all the history books are written, Poland is going to go down as one of the most significant countries of the 20th century. Because Poland and the Polish people within themselves have had to fight totalitarianism. They've had to fight oppression. And, of course, from Poland comes arguably the greatest figure of the 20th century, St. John Paul II. And I wanted to make sure we made that point explicit, and that's one of the reasons we're heading to Poland August 21st through August 30th, and it's coming up. But Steve Ray is with me right now, and you know Steve well. He's been a frequent guest on the program. He is the producer and host of the Footprints of God video series, which has done so much in the world of catechesis. And just good to see you again. You're just back from...
Just back from France.
France.
Yeah, we just took a sold-out trip to France, and we were there on June 6th.
Oh, yeah.
We were on Omaha Beach for D-Day. We heard President Trump give his a magnificent speech there.
It was well-received.
Oh, very well-received. Yeah. People stood up, standing ovation. He had a hard time getting them to sit back down.
Yeah.
And sitting among 9,000 white crosses. And there were some Stars of David among them, too.
Yeah.
I thought that was very interesting, too. But the white crosses among 9,000 young men, who many of them had never left their farm in Omaha, Nebraska, or wherever they came from.
Yeah.
They never even left their farm, and they got on that ships, and they went over there to fight. And
the cost of freedom, you know.
And it was a very moving experience to be there that day.
Yeah, I can only imagine. I heard the president's speech, and I thought he did a great job of bringing up the sobering truth that there... Freedom has burdens that we have to carry.
Yep.
And these men who did lay down their lives, what a terrible experience that had to be, knowing that you were essentially cannon fodder.
That's right. There was one young man there, though, Al. He was a young, handsome black soldier, guy. And we found, there's a woman with us named Marilyn who had four flags that she brought from members of her father's platoon. Her father had been shot down over Germany, and these were his best friends, and they were buried there.
Oh, God.
And she found their tombs and the graves, and it was an emotional moment. So she put those kiss the crosses and put the flags there. There was a young black soldier there who was just so handsome, and I just looked at him so full of life, and I said, "Sir, I bet you're glad that you are here now and not 75 years ago." And he said, "Yes and no."
Mm-hmm.
I said, "Do you mean if you were there then you would have charged the beaches?" He said, "In a heartbeat, sir, for my country."
Yeah.
Well, I got tears when he said that.
I bet. I can see that. Poland has the same... They are a people that have the fires of liberty have burned there. They are really a sister nation in many ways to the United States.
They are.
So let's talk a little bit about why Poland, why you decided this would be a great pilgrimage.
Yep, and by the way, we only have 10 seats left, so we'll start that out right away. So if you're listening and you want to go and you've been thinking about going to Poland, we got the best guides. We've got excellent everything. We've done this a number of times, and it's just a fantastic... People are surprised, actually, when they go there. They come home saying, "That was one of the most spiritual experiences I've ever had."
Yeah.
But the reason for Poland is because they are fighters. And I remember, Al, when I was in school, when I was a kid, and later on, people would tell Polak jokes.
Yeah.
And you know what I... Once I learned about the Polish people, and they'd come and say, "Hey, I got this good Polak joke," I'd say, "Stop right there.
Yeah.
Don't you ever make a joke about the Polish people. I know these people are courageous. They're Catholics. They love God. They love freedom. And they are fighting, and they have a wonderful culture. You want to tell me a joke, you tell me a joke about the Russians or the Chinese or something, but don't you ever make jokes about Polish people with me." So I have always, you know, I've heard about the Black Madonna of Częstochowa, all about John Paul II, the Divine Mercy came from there. And also during World War II, Auschwitz was such an evil, evil thing. Auschwitz and Birkenau, which is just across the tracks on the other side. And I've been there a good number of times on my own before. But to take people to see
you went there around the time you and I met. You and Janet, I think, had just returned, or maybe you were just going. But we talked about it. You had gone. This is when it was still deeply communist.
Oh, we went there. Actually, it was 1985. I suppose it was 83 earlier, but it was 85. And we had a rental car. And my wife and I and our two kids in diapers, we drove through 13 countries over a two-month period. and we didn't have any plans. We would just find a place wherever we were.
Yeah.
But we decided we wanted to go through the communist countries to see what it was like. And I also, we smuggled some things in for the Christians in Poland at the time. And those countries, I'll just mention Poland. I'll skip the other two because that's what we're talking about. I remember that even when we came into the official place where you had to find a hotel, I mean, everything had there's official, but then you found out that it's also underneath a black market where the people were doing things.
Yeah.
We'd be driving down the road and we'd see people come running out of the woods with mushrooms. And as soon as we left, they'd run back into the woods because you weren't allowed to sell things like that.
Yeah.
And so all these people were selling things, but they'd run out of the woods and hope that you'd stop and buy. And I remember one lady came running out. She had a basket of apples. And we said, "We just want one apple." But we gave her like a dollar for that apple. That a dollar was for her like 6 months. You know. She just dumped the whole basket of apples into our car. "Thank you, thank you." She dumped the whole basket and ran back into the woods. It was so dark there. And I don't mean that the sun wasn't shining.
Right.
I mean it was dark and drab. You could see that there was no life in the people's eyes. No one would look you in the eye. And when we came to get this hotel, the official source, they said, "No, there's no rooms available anywhere here in Warsaw," is where I was. "And so I'm sorry, we don't have a place for you." I walked outside and a man said, "Ch-ch-ch-ch," and he took me off to the side. And he says, "We have a nice place if you'd like it." He says, "We have it. The government doesn't know." And so we went with him. I mean, I probably could have gotten in trouble for doing that, but we had a nice place to stay. And when we did stay at an official hotel, we noticed above the reception desk rows and rows of tape recorders.
Yeah.
And they told us that every room is being recorded, so be careful what you say. So we learned that nobody looked you in the eye because they didn't know who you were. You may be an informant. Nobody could trust anybody.
No.
And it was all this evil empire that had been set up to intimidate people and to spy on everything they did.
It's hard to believe. We just had a guest, James Edwards, who's written a story of the New Testament scholar Ernst Lohmeyer, who was a brilliant up-and-coming scholar. He endured Nazism, lost his university post. But then the Soviets came in, and he disappeared. And this James Edwards is talking about when he visited. He wanted to do some research on this guy. And when he went to, in this case, it was East Germany. When he went to East Germany, he was part of a church-run, meeting where pastors were sharing ideas. And he just got up and said, I'd like to know, whatever happened to Ernst Lohmeyer? And the pastor who was running the thing quieted everybody and said, well, I think this is a good time for us to break up right now. He called an end to the meeting and said to Edwards, come with me, would you? They went on a walk. He said, we have to go on a walk because I can't say what I want to say in that room because we're always being recorded. And he told Edwards to even ask that question about Ernst Lohmeyer not only would have gotten Edwards in trouble, anybody who heard him ask the question would be under suspicion. It's hard for us to remember that East Germans, Poles, lived with that kind of repression.
Yes. They had spies everywhere. I've even given talks in India, and they told me, be careful what you say, and nothing against Hindus or whatever, because they are in here. They have paid spies to come into every meeting and to report back to what you say. This is what it was like in Poland when we were there. I remember when we were shopping, we were getting some food and things, and I was going to pay with the official's lotties, and the guy said, do you have dollars? Do you have dollars? And I said, yes. He says, drop them behind the cash. Drop now. So I dropped the $20 down, and he gave me a lot of change back, 10 times more than I would have gotten.
Wow.
But this is the way the whole thing worked. To see now the contrast, though, which is what I'm going to show you. I wish I could have taken it.
John Paul II is the hinge figure between these two different worlds.
Nobody is more loved in Poland than John Paul II.
Yeah.
They love this man, not only because he was a great pope, but because he was their guy. And he's the one that brought the Iron Curtain down and brought them liberation. Without John Paul, that would have never happened. Everybody acknowledges that, along with Ronald Reagan, who, built up the military.
Sure.
But it was John Paul II who, without firing a shot, brought that Soviet Union to its knees. But I wish I could have taken you back, Al, in 1985 when I was there, and so you could see the contrast. But I'm really excited to take you there and show you this, because I think you are going to walk away from this loving the country of Poland.
Yeah. My birthday is August 23rd. We're going to be in Poland on my birthday.
So
I'm especially pleased with that, too, since St. John Paul II is one of my, even if I were not a Catholic, St. John Paul II would be one of my heroes of the 20th century.
And you're going to get to know him better here, because you're going to see where he was born, Wadowice. They have a nice museum there, pictures you'll never see anywhere else.
Right.
It's a magnificent museum. And they have now a huge shrine. It's the John Paul II Center, which we're going to go to. And it's, we're having mass at all of these great
sites.
We're
going to be in Warsaw.
Oh, yeah, Warsaw. And Zakopane is very nice, because Zakopane is up in the mountains where he used to. This is kind of, Zakopane is in the middle. If we kind of go through Warsaw and we see World War II and we see the great saints and so on, and Maximilian Kolbe and his, Catholic radio, you're going to love this guy, because he was so involved in media, getting it all started.
Yes, he was one of the great leaders of media at the time. He published widely. He had radio. He also started a convent and monastery. But in Warsaw, we're going to be there, 3 days?
About 2 days, two or 3 days in Warsaw. We spend most of our time in Krakow, because that's kind of the heart.
Yes.
Warsaw may be the mind, like the center of the government and all that.
Yes.
But Krakow's the heart.
Yes.
The religious center.
And that's where John Paul II was, in fact, the bishop.
Right.
Yeah.
And we're going to take you and show you the old ghetto, the ghetto of World War II, where the Jews were behind it, and going to see part of the old walls and things. It's, Warsaw is very interesting, very interesting city.
Hold it Thursday. We'll come back on the other side. We're talking about Poland. We're going there August 21st to 30th. And just talking about walking in the footsteps of St. John Paul II and Maximilian Kolbe and St. Faustina. We've only got 10 left.
Today's programming on 990 WDEO is brought to you in part by a gift made from our day sponsor, the Little Flock Prayer Group, promoting a Mass with healing prayer at St. Lawrence Church on Utica Road in Utica. Thursday, June 20th, 7 p.m. with Father Jim Love.
Would you like to send a salute to your parish priest? You can have your own day on Ave Maria Radio. Call toll-free 1-877-288-1077 and say, I want to be a day sponsor.
From the gorgeous grounds of the St. Francis Retreat Center in DeWitt, it's Faith Fest 2019 with Matt Maher, Jason Gray,
gotta be
10th Avenue North, J.J. Weeks Band, Brothers Walker, and more. June 22nd, join us for Faith Fest 2019.
Go to faithfest.com to purchase tickets today.
Hello, I'm Al Cresta, and I'll be interviewing experts in economics, theology, public policy, business ethics, entrepreneurial vision, and other disciplines at Acton University June 18th to the 21st. Acton University is a four-day conference. It's designed to take people deeper into the concepts of faith, liberty, and free market economics, rounded in the dignity of the human person. So learn more about the event at university.acton.org. That's university.acton.org.
Beth, why is our health insurance so expensive? Our premium and deductible are so high. Plus, I don't want my family to support a company that doesn't share our values.
Kim, there is another option. Check out CMF Curo. It's an affordable Catholic healthcare ministry where members share their medical costs in community, and it's pro-life. We joined last year and have saved thousands, all without compromising our values. Just go to MyCatholicHealthcare.com.
CMF Curo sounds exactly like what our family needs.
Yeah, that's MyCatholicHealthcare.com.
God has blessed us with a wonderful faith, great family, friends, and nature. Hi, I'm Dan Hall from Pinckney Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, here to help you get out and enjoy our beautiful Michigan outdoors. With our award-winning lineup of new Jeeps, including Jeep Wrangler and Jeep Grand Cherokee, you can lease for only $279 per month. Or our new Jeep Compass or Jeep Cherokee, you can lease for only $179 per month during our Jeep Celebration event going on now. Only at Pinckney Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, or visit us online at PinckneyChrysler.com.
This program is brought to you in part by Charity Mobile, a proud partner of Ave Maria Radio for over 10 years. Charity Mobile is the pro-life cell phone company and has sent nearly $2 million to thousands of pro-life charities. 4G LTE coverage is available nationwide, and 5% of your monthly plan cost goes to your favorite pro-life charity. A video introduction is available at CharityMobile.com. Charity Mobile, everyday living, effortless giving. CharityMobile.com.
It's time for Family Man with Dr. Gregory Popchuk.
Every couple struggles occasionally, but research shows that when healthy couples hit hard times, they don't settle for complaining to friends who will confirm their own opinions about their situation. They seek out new tools. They look for great relationship books to read together. They go on marriage retreats. They speak to a faithful mentor or pastor who has real wisdom to share. Or they contact a marriage-friendly counselor who can provide new skills. Too many couples either don't seek help until it's too late, or seek help from friends in the same boat who can't be helpful. If you're going through tough times, don't keep your marriage struggles a secret, but do reach out to those who can really make a difference. For more marriage-building ideas, check out my book, When Divorce is Not an Option, How to Heal Your Marriage and Nurture Lasting Love. I'm Dr. Greg Popchuk, but you can call me Family Man.
To discover more ways faith can enrich your life, visit CatholicCounselors.com.
Good afternoon. I'm Al Cresta. With me is Steve Ray. Steve and Janet Ray are the producers of the Footprints of God documentary series, and they've been really expert pilgrimage guides. And we're talking about the pilgrimage coming up August 21st to 30th in Poland. My wife, Sally, and I will be joining Steve and Janet. And this is going to be a peak experience, I know, for me, because I've spent a lot of time trying to form my understanding of the faith through the writings of John Paul II. And he's not only a great teacher in word, but he's a great teacher in the way he lived. And that's what makes going to see these sites so important to me. We're going to see, of course, where he was born. We're going to see the where he exercised his spiritual authority in Krakow. And we were talking before about Max Fielding Kolbe as well.
We're going to follow him, not just
Outside of Warsaw. I can't even, you know, these words, the Polish language is very difficult,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Like, now, pronounce this word, Niepokalanonov. It's a lot of wushy, you know. There's this sounds in the Polish language. But anyway, Niepokalanonov, that's a good guess, because, but I never can get that word right. But Maximilian Kolbe, that's where he had his the big center, where he had his printing presses and his doing, you know, starting with Catholic radio. And we're convinced that the Polish people, one of the reasons they were so well prepared to face the Nazis and the Soviets is because of what Maximilian Kolbe
yep.
did them, the printing of millions and millions of leaflets,
yep.
radio and television, all the not television, radio and printing. It prepared them intellectually for what was coming. So, and Warsaw is also interesting. It's played Chopin from there too, by the way. And the whole city was destroyed during World War II, and it's all been rebuilt now, modern, beautiful city. But we'll take you outside and show you the old portions of the city walls and the place where the prison camps were and where the Jewish ghetto was. It's very moving. And then they have these monuments that are just so graphic. It almost brings tears to your eyes. But then you step away from those, and you see now modern, beautiful Poland.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's Catholic, Al. That is... Americans.
So it's a lively and vibrant faith.
Oh, it is, and it's yeah. a beautiful, colorful, friendly country. But one of the things that you'll notice, in America, we tend to hold back our religion now because our secular culture tells us to shut up.
Right.
You're not allowed to
keep
talk.
It private.
Keep it to yourself, you know. Keep it to yourself, your Catholicism. But in Poland, it's demonstrable. It's palpable that it's a Catholic country.
Yeah.
The people are Catholic. They're proud of being Catholic. They're not going to let immigrants in who are going to try and change it from being Catholic.
Mm-hmm.
And as you saw, President Trump had a meetings with the president of Poland and, again, reaffirmed the great relationship that we have with that country because they are freedom-loving and they're a Christian country.
Yeah.
Beautiful
yeah.
place.
Tell me a little bit more. Are we going to see any sites associated with Father Jerzy Popiuszko?
Yes. In fact, on the first day when we arrive, we go to Stanisław Kostka Church.
Good. Yes.
And in there is his remains and his story. And our guides, we have Gloria and Alex, two Polish historian, devout Catholics. And they've come to these places and they explain all these things to us. They got good English. And they explain to us all about Popiełuszko and his story. And there's yeah. pictures there of him being killed and everything.
Yeah.
It's a very, so this, see, look at all
he's
the
really
different.
A martyr. He was a chaplain of the Solidarity Movement.
Simple man.
He was. And that's what makes, really, you get to know what a beast Soviet communism was by looking at the murder
yeah.
of Father Jerzy
yeah.
Popiełuszko.
Yeah.
It's a terrible, it's an inspiring story, but he underwent extreme brutality. And again, for a man who really was, in many ways, a very simple priest.
Yep.
He
was.
So.
We also go to Częstochowa and see the Black Madonna. That has a long history going back to early centuries, actually. And that's a very, very important place. And then we go to Zakopane, which is in the mountains. This is kind of in the middle. It's kind of a nice break for a day and a half.
Is that where John Paul II used to go for hiking?
Yes, and skiing.
Yes, okay.
And so we take cable cars up there, and there's a beautiful shopping place. I bought these lamb's wool fuzzy things for all my grandkids when they were there. But it's and the food, we have a Highlander's lunch up there. And we stay at a hotel that looks out over the water, over a big lake up in the mountains in Zakopane. It's a beautiful place to go. And they built this wooden church in honor of John Paul II, the people, the Highlanders, the woodworking guys. And it's a wooden church. It's the most unbelievable church. You've just never seen anything like it in your life. It's just a great place. So we spend the day up there and the night up in Zakopane, and there's a lot of pictures up there of him skiing and things. You can kind of relate to him up there.
It'll be great to be there. I know he was born in Wadowice, but I don't know much about it.
Simple little town.
Okay.
And there's the parish church where he was baptized, and you can go right up to the baptismal font where he was baptized, and on the wall they have his baptismal certificate papers, you know, enlarged.
Yeah.
And so you're actually going and sitting and praying there in the church where he was as a boy.
Yes.
Because his mother died and his father took care of him. And
his dad died.
And the whole story of his family is, as we go along. And I'll tell you, you get to know him as a person, not just as a pope when we're on this trip.
Right.
A couple other things that I would emphasize that are spectacular in an awful way is Auschwitz and Birkenau that we go to. And we see the ovens where they burned the people. And we talk about what happened there, mainly to the Polish people and the Jewish people. But we see the place where Maximilian Kolbe was standing out in the courtyard there when he said the men were being charged and they're picking 10 to kill them. Mm-hmm. And one was a family man, and Maximilian knew it, and he says, I'll die in that man's place. And right. What he did, you were not allowed to step out of line when you were in order in line with the Nazis, and you weren't allowed to speak. But he stepped out and took a risk and said, I'll die in this man's place. What you say?
Yeah.
I'll die in his place. And they did, and we go down and we see the cell where we can't go into it, but it has a glass door now, and you can look in there.
Wow.
And we'll see the cell where he was starved to death for this man. And we know that later that man came to Rome, and that was just recently, with his whole huge family to give thanks for that heroic effort. Now, that's on the awful side. Now, another thing
What I love about this, though, Steve, is, again, John Paul II is probably the greatest defender of human dignity of the 21st century, and we're going to have that example
yes.
right up against the absolute contrast, the Soviets and the Nazis, who arguably are the clearest example
yeah.
of not recognizing
yeah.
the intrinsic dignity of the human person.
You've got black and white.
Yeah.
You've got evil and goodness that are just, they're staring each other in the face. And this is one of the things you're going to love about this. Now, when you step into this country, you see these are the tensions there are so strong. But what you also see is that freedom and Catholicism and goodness won.
Yeah.
We won. Yeah. And that people that are living that now today. A beautiful thing that you'll see, too, is we'll go down into the salt mines.
Ooh. Yeah.
And I've been in the salt mines in Wales, in the British Isles. And they're dark and horrible places. People died under there. They're dingy and death traps. It was awful. I mean, we could not wait to get out of those coal mines. This is a salt mine in Poland, but down there, the Polish people, their Catholicism affected the way they did this.
Huh.
There is a whole church underneath there that's huge, and we're going to have mass down there under the ground, almost a half a mile under the ground in the salt mines. They have chapels everywhere. Everywhere they have carvings of Our Blessed Mother in the salt, statues of John Paul II in the salt. It's an underground world. It's a Catholic world underground that is totally surreal.
Wow.
You can't even imagine it until you see it. Carvings of the Last Supper inside the church, under the ground, in the salt mine. Everything's carved out of salt. It's absolutely stunning.
We're talking about the contrast between the great defender of human dignity and those forces that were tearing apart the human person. And yet it's from Poland that we have the Chaplet of Divine Mercy.
Yes.
And they have the emphasis on Divine Mercy.
Yep. And we're going to see that. We're going to the convent there, and we're going to spend a half a day at least there. I remember the first time I went, we were praying the Divine Mercy with all the sisters in the church in front of the body of the relics there of Sister Maria Faustina. I have a granddaughter named that, by the way, Maria mm-hmm. Faustina. And we were praying, and I had my iPhone out because I don't speak Polish. And it's a hard language. So I had it out, and I had the Divine Mercy, and I had it on my iPhone. And this sister came over, all dressed up. And she said, no, no, no. And I said, but sister, I have no iPhone, no. And she was very upset that I had this on in the church. But I showed her, I said, this is the Divine Mercy. I can't speak Polish. I said, in English. She goes, oh, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. But that was just one of the fun stories. But that we do get to see, we'll have a tour of the whole place, where she lived in that convent, and all of the sites there, and we'll get to meet the sisters. One of the sisters always comes and gives a little talk and an introduction to us on Maria Faustina. And that whole Divine Mercy is such a powerful, and that also ties in with John Paul II, who
yeah.
was the one that helped bring that into the life of the church.
Yeah, and Divine Mercy Sunday was what he instituted.
Exactly, and so you will be a part of that for sure. When you're there.
Yeah. So let's just talk a little bit about how people can prepare to join us. What should they do?
Well, they should contact Corporate Travel. They're the company that we work with. They're partners with Ave Maria Radio. All of us work right. together, and we support each other, and it's, we got this good partnership going, and it's with Corporate Travel. And they should have their phone number right here. I should have that for you. I can get it here real quick. Anyway, in the meantime, while I'm looking for it here, I should have. Yeah, here we go. We call 866-468-1420. And we'll give that out again in just a minute. It's on my website, too, Kath, at Footprints of God.
And we've got linkage at AveMariaRadio.net, right. too. We have it right. in our front page in the upper left corner.
Yep. And so we have only, I think, 10 seats left. We had limitations on hotel rooms, how many we could actually have. Mm-hmm. So 10 seats left, and if somebody wants it, they better get it quick, because I know there's kind of a rush at the end. People have been thinking about it.
Yes,
wait.
That's right.
But you should do it pretty quickly, because it's this is also a good time of year to go. The weather's going to be beautiful there. It's going to be cool, not hot, not cold. It's going to be nice time. Great food.
Yeah, tell us about the food.
The food is Polish food. It's tasty. And I don't think you're going to lose any weight if you come on a trip like this with us. Don't think, oh, good, I'm going to go to Poland and lose weight, because the food is delicious. It's ample, plenty of that. We have very nice hotels, right in the middle of places, so you can go out in the evening and walk through, like, say, Krakow and other places like that. And the two guides we have are wonderful, dedicated Roman Catholic guides with good English, and they're historians. That we've used them on the other trips we've gone. Everybody loved them, wanted to bring them home with them, you know, Alex and Gloria.
Yeah.
And great buses. We've got great priests coming along with us, and it's going to be a fun time.
Yeah, we'll have Mass daily.
Every day Mass, yep. absolutely. And in some of the coolest places. I mean, so, like Mass at the Divine Mercy where John Paul was born, we did last time. We had Mass actually in the place where he celebrated his first Mass. So it's not just to go see Poland. We're going to see it culturally. We're going to enjoy the culture and the beauty of Poland and the Highlanders' lunches and all of the wonderful things. But we're also going to step back in history, and we're going to see what the Polish people suffered and how heroic they were and how they conquered because of their Catholicism. I remember when I was talking to a German. Do I have 1 minute left?
Yep.
I was talking when we, in 2017, we took a group to Germany where we were following Martin Luther. For the 500th anniversary of the Protestant Revolution or Revolt. And we had a guide taking us around. We were arguing with Martin Luther all along the way, by the way. That's why we went to argue. And we left 500 reasons to be Catholic at the Wittenberg door of the church, you know, where Martin was. Anyway, the people in Poland were able to survive Nazism and communism because of their strong Catholicism, and we're going to experience that in Poland. So, sign up quick.
The Polish people survived because of Catholicism. German people, East German people, were not able to
right.
do as well.
Number again is 866-468-1420, or go to our websites.
Okay. AveMariaRadio.net.
Deacon Skin and Surgeries is a comprehensive dermatology center on the border of Troy and Rochester Hills, south of M59, and in Dearborn, west of Telegraph. Deacon Skin and Surgeries perform full skin exams and focus on the diagnosis and treatment of all types of skin cancer and precancerous lesions. All are board-certified dermatologists and fellowship-trained surgeons. Call 248-852-1900. Deacon Skin and Surgeries, a beacon for patient care. 248-852-1900.
Hi, I'm Al Cresta. Join me, Teresa Tomeo, and Father John Ricardo for fun fellowship and beautiful weather during our Good News Marriage Cruise. Former NFL star Matt Burke will also be there sailing the Caribbean as we explore how to rejuvenate your marriage in Christ. We're sailing January 26th to February 1st, so call 855-879-6932. That's 855-879-6932. Or visit AveMariaRadio.net for early registration discounts.
Cresta in the Afternoon is underwritten by the following nonprofit organization, Real Estate for Life. Buying or selling your home or business property? Real Estate for Life can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. When Real Estate for Life receives a referral fee, they donate 80% of the referral check to Ave Maria Radio and Students for Life. More information at realestateforlife.org or 877-LIFE-US1. That's realestateforlife.org.
Now, on the Ave Maria Radio app, the prayer section, where you can listen to the Holy Rosary All four mysteries are voiced by Christ as the Answer and Father Knows Best host, Father John Ricardo. Are you struggling to remember specific prayers for pre- and post-confession, reciting the Stations of the Cross, or prayers during Eucharistic adoration? It's all there, word for word, and within a few clicks under the prayer section on the Ave Maria Radio app. Download it on your smart device today.
Well, it's been good being with you, and let me remind you that you can follow up on our conversation with Steve Ray about the pilgrimage to Poland coming up at the end of August. There are, again, 10 seats left at this point. So give a call. Check it out on the website, AveMariaRadio.net. It's in the upper left-hand revolving picture there. And if you want more information, give a call. We'll be glad to provide anything you need. Also, Father James Mallon's Divine Renovation, the book is available in the online bookstore. More and more priests are waking up to the idea that American culture has kind of moved on, and if we're going to maintain vibrant Catholic communities, we're going to have to move from maintenance to mission. Maintenance means decline at this point. Mission means increase. We'll be talking more about this as the weeks and months go on this summer. I'm Al Cresta. Thanks for being with me, and Lord willing, be back next Monday for another edition of Cresta in the Afternoon.
Cresta in the Afternoon is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio, and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. To follow up on any of the guests or information presented on today's program, visit the Cresta Guest Archive at AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMaria Radio.net. To listen to this or any other edition of Cresta in the Afternoon, visit the audio archives at AveMariaRadio.net. Or to order a CD of the program, call 734-930-4506 or email orders at AveMariaRadio.net. That's 734-930-4506 or orders at AveMariaRadio.net.